If I had to use one word to describe myself this morning, not that you care about that, but it would be overwhelmed. Literally overwhelmed. I was telling Jim this morning when he came in, I don't know where this is going. I don't know how this is coming together because God's word is so overwhelming. It's huge. It's bigger than what we realize. It is so alive. And I know I've said that for the last couple weeks, but he has proven that over and over again. All you got to do is start. Just start somewhere and start looking at it and start discovering it, start reading it, start praying about it, allow him to guide you and direct you. And it just becomes huge, not in an overwhelming bad way, an overwhelming good way in which you can't get enough of who he is and what he's trying to do. It is the most amazing thing, and I want, somehow I'd like every one of us to be able to experience that in an amazing way. And it's hard for me because trying to take all the things of God's word and try to narrow it down into like 30 minutes or whatever I stand up here and talk, it's hard to do. And I thought it was going to actually be a little bit easier this week because we're looking at this passage in Hebrews 11 and looking at these people of faith. And the guy that we're looking at this morning has the briefest of mention in God's word. I mean, it is literally two sentences trying to explain his life. But the implications of those two sentences runs, again, all the way from the very beginning of Genesis all the way to the very end, one of the last passages in Jude. It is just an amazing study of a man named Enoch. Enoch, by the way, all these babies being born, that's a pretty cool name. Enoch, you don't hear that very often. I'm just throwing that out as a possibility. Enoch, and you know what? Enoch was a pretty cool guy. As a matter of fact, if you take a look in your scripture with me in Hebrews chapter 11, we'll start there. Hebrews chapter 11, again, verse 5. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. But before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So Enoch's claim to fame. I'm just going to digress here just a second. I almost, not struggled, but it's reassuring to me that Enoch is like the second guy mentioned here. First you have Cain, Abel, who really didn't do anything but bring an offering to God, okay? And then you've got Enoch. And sometimes I think we've got in our minds as Christians, I know sometimes in my mind, I think I've got to accomplish something big. You know, I think I've got to be like Noah and build an ark, or, you know, I've got to be like Abraham, who was this great follower of God, or I've got to do these great things in order for God to say, aha, there's a good guy. Sometimes I get that in my mind that that's who I've got to be, or, you know, we got to build a, you know, this great big ministry, or we got to be number one at this, or be great at that, or, you know what I'm saying? Does anyone else get that feeling at times that sometimes I'm not really useful unless I'm doing something really big and really spectacular or really life-changing or really impacting in someone's life? Sometimes I think we fall into that trap of this is what God really is looking for. This is what God really wants, is someone who is just going to be this bright, shining light that just beacons out into the whole world. And, you know, that's kind of what I get trapped into that. As a matter of fact, this week on Friday night, I got to go to the football game. Finally, the first one I got to go to. It's just been a crazy year. I love going and watching our kids play football. I love watching the other people that are there gathered and doing that. I love that environment. I love being there. And by the way, it was really cool. Really cool. Two kids from our church got homecoming, King and Queen. Colton Peterson and Cora Peters. That's pretty cool. And not only that, I think there was a couple other people in the court. It wasn't Gail Edelson, or not Gail, Jay Edelson, wasn't he one of the, part of the court too? So, Galen, it was Galen Gibson, sorry. I can never remember all the names and all, it's just overwhelming to me. But that was pretty cool. But I got to the football game, and I went up to go sit with someone, and this question was asked to me twice, like within a period of time, like, so what did you do this week? I remember the first time they asked me, it was like, that's a good question. what did I do this week? And then it wasn't like a minute or two later, someone asked me the exact same question. Hey, Eldon, how's it going? What'd you do this week? And I thought, why is people asking me what I did this week? And then, honestly, for the first probably half of the game, I literally stood up against the fence in the very back of the bleachers thinking, what did I do this week? I mean, really, seriously, what did I accomplish this week? And my mind was almost a blank. I sat there and I thought and I thought and I thought. I was literally started going through each day. Okay, Monday I did this, and Tuesday and Wednesday, and at the end of the week on Friday I was like, what did I really do? And it started to worry me. It started to bother me a little bit, to be honest with you, because I was thinking, you know what? I got to accomplish something. Something's got to get done. Something's got to be, you know, finished, or something's got to be at least started, or something's got to happen. Right? But look at this guy, Enoch. He really didn't do anything. He didn't build an ark. He didn't part the seas. He didn't hit a rock and water come out. He didn't do anything magnificent. But look at his life. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in Genesis chapter 5. And just take a look at this guy. All that it says, very simply, is this. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. This is the account of Enoch. Or if you want to go back to when he was born, we can do that. In verse 18, it says, when Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. There's the first mention of this Enoch. There's another Enoch that's not the Enoch we're talking about. But here he is. He was born when his dad was 162 years old. Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived 962 years, then he died. And then it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. By the way, Methuselah is the oldest living being ever recorded in the history of the world. He lived 969 years, if I remember correctly. Is that right? Yep, 969 years Methuselah lived. So Enoch was the father of the oldest living being ever recorded on earth. But it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. That's what we know about Enoch. So how did he get in the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11? What did he do that was so special, was so grand, so was so wonderful that he got into the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11? One of these people who were by faith. Well, look at what kind of goes on. This is a couple of observations about Enoch and what was going on during this time. If you read all of Genesis chapter 5, it's kind of an interesting little thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but look at the pattern that's going on here. We start off with Adam, who after lived 130 years, had a son in his own likeness and his own image. In verse 3, after Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived 930 years. And then he, what? It says. And then he died. Yep. Then Seth, who had, after 105 years, became the father of Enosh. And then he lived, after Seth, he lived 807 years, had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived 912 years. Pretty impressive. And then he, what? He died. And you got Enosh. Enosh lived 90 years, became the father of Kenan. And then after Enosh, he lived 815 years, and altogether he had sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived 905 years, and then he what? He died. And then Kenan. I like that name, too. I think we have a child with the middle name of Kenan, don't we? Yeah. Oh, it's Gabriel. Yeah, it's Gabriel Kenan. That's a good name. So when Kenan had lived 70 years, he became the father of, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. After that, he lived 840 years altogether. Kenan lived 910 years, and then what? He died. Yeah. The Mahala, 65 years. Then he had a child. Then he lived 895 years, and then he died. You see a pattern going on here? And if you go on, you can keep reading about all these different people who lived, who had a child, then they lived some more, and then they died. There's a pattern that goes on over and over. And Enoch breaks the pattern, because if you read Enoch, he says he lived 65 years. First of all, he He was the youngest one, according to recorded history right here so far that we know of. He only lived 65 years. He had a son, Methuselah. Then he lived 300 years, which is kind of unusual, because did you notice all the other years? We've got 930, 912, 905, 910, 895, 962, and then we get to Enoch, and he only lived 365 years. I don't know if that says something about Enoch or Methuselah. I don't know what it is, because he only lived 300 years. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, like, he got ripped off because he only got like a third of a life of everyone else because he only lived 365 years. And all these other people were living like 900 years. But he only lived 365 years. But look what it says about him. It doesn't say he died. He broke the pattern. Look what it says. He says, then he was no more because God took him away. After 365 years, God took him away. You know how unusual that is? There's only two people in recorded history that God just took away. Enoch and Elijah. If you want to look at Elijah, he's got an incredible life, did amazing things, was a powerhouse for God in so many ways. And God came and took him away in a tornado or in a whirlwind or however you want to take it. He came and as Elijah, I think Dan just read about it, Elijah, you know, he chose Elisha to be his next in command or his protege. He put the cape over Elijah. Elijah followed. Elijah was standing there and he watched Elijah. So there's a witness go woof into the clouds. God just took him away. Didn't experience death. So what was so incredible about Enoch that God chose him to just skip death, go directly past prison, go right to the to go and go right to heaven? What was so special about Enoch? The only thing that we know special about Enoch is one thing. He walked with God. He just walked with God. That's it. What does it mean that he walked with God? Well, come on, I'm hoping someone will answer because I've been looking in the Bible all week long trying to figure out exactly what it means that he walked with God. What does it mean that he walked with God? He fellowshiped with God. Absolutely, but I can say I fellowship with God. You see, Enoch, I think, made it his life's commitment to walk with God. What's it mean to walk with God? Does that mean that God came down every day like with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and got in the garden with Enoch and took him by the hand and they walked along the road somewhere? Is that what it means? I don't think that's what it means. I don't think there was a physical presence that God was with Enoch any more than he was with anyone else who wanted to seek him and find him. I think it was the idea that Enoch seeked God every day. Enoch died to his own agenda, his own plans, his own desires, what he wanted to have accomplished for the day. I think he died to that, and every day he woke up and he says, Lord, where do you want to take me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? Where do you want me to go? Lord, I want to go where you want to go rather than me trying to take you where I want you to be. I think there was a difference in Enoch's life that was so remarkable, that was so refreshing to God, that he died, that Enoch died to himself and was looking for God's interest for his life every single day. And you know what? I think that's what God is looking for. That's what he really wants from us. But what's going on? And I'm not condemning. I'm just telling you, this is what I think's going on. I think there's this thing, this relationship that God wants to have. I don't know how to do this. I've been thinking all week how to explain this. Who can walk slow? Yeah. Rob, come on up here, buddy. Can you help me out? There was no hesitation there at all, was there? Are you kidding? All right, Rob, this is what I want you to do. Rob, you're God today.
Oh, boy.
You're big enough. He's a big guy. All right, Rob, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to walk ever so slowly across. And I mean, no, wait, not until I... Right. Even though you're God, I'm just going to ask you to wait just for a second, okay? Yeah. I'm just going to ask you to walk very, very slowly. I mean, as slow as you can walk across the stage, okay? And I'm just me, okay? This is what I think is going on in our life, okay? This is what God wants. I will show you what God wants first, all right? So let's walk together. Is it all right if I hold your hand? Okay. So we're just walking. I love my brother.
Yes.
So we're walking. If you want to go that way, you can go. I'm not trying to tell God what to do, but if you want to go that way, come this way, that's fine. I like that. That was a good move. This is pretty cool. Okay. That's walking with someone. Your hand's a little sweaty. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Let's go back over there. All right. Hold on. Let me walk with you. Okay. That's walking with someone. Okay? You see, when he turned, I turned. When he slowed, I didn't even cue him to slow down. Did you notice that he slowed down and stopped? I stopped. What he saw, I was getting to see. As a matter of fact, when I'm walking with him, he's able to point out, he could have said, look at the picture, isn't that cool? And I could have seen the picture that he was looking at. If something would have happened, if something would have happened at that moment, if something bad would have happened, I would have been right there with him and we would have been together in the midst of that trial. Okay? If something good would have happened, I could have been right there with him and I could have been sharing, or he could have been sharing with me, wow, this is awesome, and we would have been experiencing everything together at the same time. We might not have been having the same thoughts, but we could have shared our thoughts with one another because we were right there together, correct? He could have told me things that I didn't understand. As we were walking along, he could explain how that piano works because I have no idea how that keyboard works. That's one of the most cool things, you know? You press on the keys and sound comes out, and different sounds. That's an amazing thing. He could explain how that worked. He could have done all these different things as we were walking together. And that's how God intends, that's what he desires in our life, that we are walking side by side with him every day. But this is kind of how it really goes in our life. And this is how it kind of goes in my life. And it's getting convicting, okay? So you start walking. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo- I'm here. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do, do, do. Oh, yeah. I'm here. You get the idea? Or maybe I just want to sit. Or maybe I want to run ahead. And we get into all these different patterns. God's going, what's going on? See, thanks, Rob. Right. You're a good slow walker, man. He's speeding up. You see that? Maybe we made him start walking faster. You see, what God's desire is more than anything else, what pleases him, he's not happy with bigger buildings. He's not pleased with magnificent ministries. He's not pleased with all the things that we think are so important. What he wants more than anything, what makes him happiest is that his kids, his creation, the one he designed, would walk with him. Just walk. Not run, not sit. Just walk with him. You see, that's what pleases him. That's what he wants. I don't know how else to say it. so simple. And yet so hard because of what we live in. That's what he's looking for. If you go back to Hebrews and look what it says, it says a life that pleases God. He gives you a little definition. It says, God has taken him away. Before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He pleased God. Enoch pleased God. He pleased him so much that he said, you know what? Just come with me. I think the reason, and I'm just speculating, there's no evidence, that no one said this in any commentary like that. I think the reason that Enoch only lived 365 years is because, and this might sound crazy, but he only lived a third of the years that everyone else did during this period of time. I think the reason he lived such a short life here on earth is because he walked with God. And you know what? He saw everything that needed to be seen. He lived, get this, he lived more life in 365 years walking with God than everyone else did living 900 and some years. He lived. He really, really lived. Really lived. He experienced what God had in store for him right then and now. There was nothing that was held back from Enoch because he was with God at every moment. He was in tune with what God wanted at every moment of his life. He saw everything that God wanted to see. He heard everything that God wanted to hear. He experienced all the things that God had created for him in advance for him to do. He accomplished every good work that God wanted him to do, that God had prepared for him to do. He did everything because he walked hand in hand with God every day. Every day he emptied himself and lived for God and walked with him. You see, he didn't waste 600 some years running here and there and up and down and just coming back to God. He walked with him. I have no delusion in my mind that after today, we're all going to go just, wow, Ellen said we need to walk with God. And so now, boom, we're all just going to go out and walk with God. I have no delusion. I would love to see that. I would love that for that to happen in my life. I would love that I would just be able to walk with God hand in hand like Rob and I did it the first time. I wish I could do that just 50% of my day. I would feel so good. God would probably be pretty happy with that too if I could just get 50% down. Okay? But it starts somewhere. It starts with the recognition, just what it says right here. If we want to please God, if we want to honor him, if we want to do what he's calling us to do, look what it says. All he says, this is what pleases him. This is it. He says, God had taken him away from where he was at. He was commended as one who has pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, there's three little things that pleases God. First of all, you have to seek him. You have to come after him. You see, God isn't changing his path for you. Understand that? God is not going to change his path for you. He's got a path set. And we can either choose to follow in that path or we can run around like wild Indians and every once in a while bump into him in the process. God's not going to change his path for us. We need to seek him out. We need to call to him every single day and say, Lord, what is it? How can I please you? Let me die to myself. Let me die to my agenda. Let me look to the things that you are calling me to do and give me the courage to do them. You know what? Oh, I know I could call on you right now, Steve Capes. I know I could call on you to come up here right now and explain to these people, you know what? If you'll die to your life and allow your life to be controlled by him, great things happen. You start to really live. Amen? Amen. And I bet you I can call on each and every one of you, and every one of you can give an example where you were walking in your way, in your life, in what you wanted to do, and all of a sudden you actually ran into God somewhere along the path, and he was like, this is what I need you to do right there in this moment. Have you ever had that opportunity? Have you ever been going along in life, and all of a sudden you run into God's path, and he's like, he actually screams loud enough that you can hear him, and you actually pay attention, and you do it, and all of a sudden you've done something that God's called you to do. You've walked hand in hand with him just for a brief moment in one day of your life, and something happened amazing? Yes? Anyone? I've had that moment. I wish I had it more and more, but you know what? I feel, oh, yes, I feel more alive in that moment of obedience and walking with God than I do throughout the rest of my day. And that's why it bothered me Friday night when someone said, what did you do this week? And I had to sit there and think and wonder, what did I do this week? Because you know what? If I was walking hand in hand with God every single day, there would be those moments where you just knew, you knew you were doing what God was calling you to do. You understood it. Can you imagine Enoch living each day like that? What an amazing life that would have been. Do you realize that we can have that same experience, every one of us? Every one of us has the opportunity to seek God. Every day. Every one of us, at every opportunity of every moment of our life, of every single day, we've got the opportunity to seek Him. To say, Lord, what do you want to do with this? Because you know what? Even when God is walking down the path and we're way over here and we're out here doing our own thing, if we all of a sudden will just look to Him, He can draw us back to Him. He can get us back on the right track with Him, back in the right walk that He wants us to be in with Him. And every moment of the day, He could do that. You know what? If we would just start walking in the mindset of, Lord, how do you want to use me this day? Wake up with it in your mind. Before you pour the cup of coffee, Wilmer Hawk, before you pick out the shirt out of the closet that all look the same, before you do any aspect of your life, seek Him out. Before a word comes out of your mouth, put Him over the authority of your life. That's life. That's real life. That's the life He wants us to have and experience. That's a life that will please Him and glorify Him. You know, a couple weeks ago, actually 3 weeks ago, when I was trying to get this whole little series outlined in my head, and I literally sat down for hours just reading through this and asking, I got one of those moments that I was walking hand in hand with Him. I felt like, because in a few hours He outlined and He just kind of laid things down. And this week's message, that like the main thing, the title of it was, I wrote it down. It was this. It was, we are given new life. By faith, we are given new life. And when I wrote it down, I thought the idea of this, by faith, we are given new life, was going to go off into this whole thing about we are saved by grace through faith, and that through this faith, we're given this new life, and this new life is what's coming in heaven, and that's going to be the new thing that's going to bring us. But you know what? Through faith, we are given a new life right here, right now, today. Through faith, if we live our life through faith, He is ready to give you a new life today. A new experience, a new way to look at life, a new way to hear the things, a new way to experience, a new way to interact with people. He wants to give you a new life today. New life. An exciting life. A scary life. You know, so many people right now are trying to live for the moment, trying to live for that adrenaline junkie, trying to live for that experience. But you know what? The experience that's going to satisfy and bring real life into your life is walking with Jesus Christ every single day through faith. How do we do it? It starts with this great idea of knowing that God exists. It goes all the way back to this first sermon in this series, knowing that He exists, that God is real. Do you really believe that God is real? Come on now, do you really believe that God is real, that He created you? Do you believe it? Or you just think it's something that, you know, we come to church and we say it on Sundays and it's just a nice idea and it makes us feel better and all sorts of stuff. But do you really believe it? Do you really believe that God is real? He created you. You are His creation. You are the clay that He molded together into the pot that you are, and He has a right to do whatever He wants with your life because He created you. Do you believe that? I really do. I really, really do. And if I really do believe that God created me, that means He's got a purpose for me, because He's not going to create something without a purpose. And if he really created me, if I really believe that, then I should be doing everything in my power, everything in my understanding, everything in my day to find him. That's what it says. Those who come to him, those who seek him, who believe that he exists, if I believe that God created me, if I really do believe it, if you really do believe it, we need to be seeking him. Not just on Sunday. Guys, this is nothing. This Sunday morning thing, not that I don't want you to come or anything like that, because this is where we get built up, this is where you get taught, this is where you get spanked, this is where you get all these different things, but this is nothing. This is only a little part. This coming to church does not please God. Giving our lives to him is what pleases him. It's what he gets. It's what he loves. It's what he wants. It's kind of like your own kids. I wonder if it was, I'm going way off the subject here. I'm getting off on rabbit tracks like crazy. But I wonder if it wasn't because of Methuselah that Enoch started walking with God. Because as soon as you have a kid, you start, honestly, as soon as you have a kid, you start understanding what God's going through. Amen. Think about God. Think about your own kids. Do you like yelling at them? I don't. I would rather my kids be right alongside me, and all I'd have to do is say, "Hey, we're gonna go to bed now," and they're like, "Okay, we'll go to bed." Or, you know, "It's time to eat." "All right, let's eat." Instead of "It's time to eat." "Time to eat. Come on, it's time to eat." Think about it. You know, now think about having like billions of them. As God, I mean, billions of these little things just running all over the place. And all you just want them to do is just be around you so you can just talk to them and explain things to them and teach them and love them and provide for them. It's hard to provide when they're running away over there. It's hard to protect them when they're way out there. It's easy to protect them if they'll just stay close to me. You know what I'm saying? It's easier. But when they're all over the place, it's like, what do you do? You know what? Do God a favor. Stick close to him this week. Just try it out. Just find out where he wants to take you this week. Just try it for a day. Try it for an afternoon. Try it for a morning. Just make a conscious effort to seek him out with your whole being. Just for a little while and see what happens. And don't be afraid. Know that where he leads you, he'll provide for you. Know that where he leads you, he'll protect you. Know that where he leads you, even through the valley of the shadow of death, he is there. And his rod and his staff, they'll comfort you. Because he's walking with you. You're walking with him. You see, that's what faith is about. That's why it says, by faith, Enoch lived. Because he believed God existed. And he sought him out every day. And he was putting his belief into action by seeking God. By wanting what God wants for him. By following God's path instead of trying to just run into his path every once in a while. I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't. I don't know what's going to happen. What you're going to do with this? Is it just words on a Sunday morning? Is it just the time you put in today, this week, done your duty? Is it just the ramblings of a crazy guy? I don't know. I could go through Romans chapter 1. And 2 and 3. I could look at Galatians 3, Habakkuk. Oh my goodness, Habakkuk explains it so well. just, and I'm done. I am. But just look at what he says here. Habakkuk. It's so hard to find. I had to write the page number down in my Bible. I'm sorry. It's not even Habakkuk. It's Micah. I just like saying Habakkuk. That's a good name too. If you're wondering, it's 1886 in my Bible. Micah. Right after Jonah. Micah 6. Micah 6:6. Because if I do believe in him, if I do believe him, in him, if he did create me, I want to please him somehow. At least I should. If I believe in God, there should be some part of me. If I really believe, if I really have faith, if I really believe, there should be some part of me that wants to acknowledge him at least. And look what it says. It says, with what shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves, a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Is that what's going to please him? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Verse 8 says, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy. And look what it says. And to walk humbly with your God. Just walk humbly with your God. I think I can do that. Not perfectly. Not all the time. But I think I can seek him out. I think I can acknowledge him. And the neatest part about the whole thing is that God's grace through the blood of Jesus covers those times when I'm out there, where I'm not holding on. And he still loves me. You want to live? I mean, do you really want to live? Do you want to experience all that this life has to offer? Really? Then walk with him. Let him be God. Let's pray. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, God, you are an incredible and mighty God. And Lord, so often I know I take it for granted way too much that you are always going to be there, that you're always walking the path, Lord. You are always steadfast and sure. And Lord, I need your help. We need your help to just walk with you. We need you to increase our faith to the point that we have a desire to find you, to look for you, to come to you, to cry out to you. Lord, I know the path that I get to walking on and running on and stalling on is not the path that you have chosen for me. And I ask for courage for me and for everyone here, Lord, to walk in step with you, to hold your hand tightly, and desire your will for our lives, and to lay down our own agendas, Lord, and help us to see it when we're doing it. Help us to see when we're trying to drag you into the direction that we want you to go. Lord, I just pray that as a father, you just speak to us. And that if we start wandering away, that you would grab hold of our hand and you would pick us up and you would carry us. Hold us tight. Lord, I pray that you would increase our faith. Open our eyes and our hearts to who you are. Give us the strength, Lord, to look for you and to you in all things. I love you, Lord. And I want to love you more. I want to love you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen.